Comedian Paul Rodriguez calls himself a payaso, a clown, because the jester has the ability to remove pain and for a brief moment translate it into laughter.
I used to always run around and telling jokes, and my mother was always, apaciguate! Shut up, quit clowning around! Why are you such a payaso? Laughing all the time, life isn't about laughing. I never got that. No, pues, what is it about? It's about, pues, you know, other than just laughing all the time. What could be better, people, than just laughing all the time? No, cabrón, ya estás riéndote todo el tiempo, you're laughing around. Where is that gonna take you in life?
The smug smile that Rodriguez shares with his audience says it all, that indeed clowning has taken him far. He's been in show business for more than 30 years, movies, television, and stand-up comedy. His clowning has also gotten Rodriguez into some trouble. He's been fired and come under fire for publicly speaking his mind about race, class, and the plight of Mexicans and Mexican-Americans. Rodriguez was born in Mazatlan, Mexico, but after 4 decades living in the U.S., he likes to say that he is now as American as cheese and macaroni. In the second of our series of conversations with comedians, Rodriguez describes an America that may be somewhat foreign to many Americans. It's a world where Chicanos celebrate friends and family, struggle to get ahead, and endure a never-ending torrent of insults and intolerance.
America has always had this hate-need relationship with Mexican Americans. On the one hand, we hate them coming and disrespecting our laws, but God, we need them to pick our tomatoes because we love salads. And unless you're able to come to terms with that, I remember being on Politically Incorrect one time, and this very famous actress, she was in the movie 10. What was her name?
Bo Derek.
Yeah, Bo Derek is there, and we were discussing illegal immigration, and she was going, you know, I live in Santa Ynez, and when I see all these Mexican-Americans disrespecting our laws, coming over here, it just makes me so angry. I don't know why we can't put the military and deport them. And I go, you know, Bo, I venture to say that every one of the people that work in your ranch are Mexican-Americans. Yes, but, you know, they've been with us for a long time. See, what am I, psychic? I said, listen, you and everyone like you, the minute you're willing to strap on the leaf blower yourself and mow your own lawn and do your own dishes and nanny your own kids and pick your own vegetables, when you're willing to do all these jobs yourself, then you have the right to throw us out because you don't need us anymore. But until then, shut up. You don't have to love us, but you do have to pay us. So see, that's what I do in my comedy.
And in doing that, there's power in that, because as a comedian, you can get in Bo Derek's face. You can say things through comedy,
sure,
that you can't say otherwise.
No, because then it would be a confrontation. The power of comedy is not something I discovered. The power of comedy has been discovered by great speakers. Ronald Reagan, when he was shot, he had the inspiration to say, I forgot the duck. You know, and this endeared him to the American public. Humor has been used very wisely by politicians, you know, because with a little bit of sugar, the medicine goes down. I don't do it consciously. I'm certainly not a political comedian. I like to do more mundane things. I know exactly who my audience is.
But see, that's another thing. Our funerals are different. You know why? Because Mexican funerals are catered. There's food. It's like a family reunion and a quinceañera all rolled up into one. Mexican funerals, unlike other funerals for Caucasians, I've been to a couple of white friends of mine who passed away. They're sad. They're there to mourn, as they should be. They're there very solemn, very quiet. They even cry quietly. Mexican funerals are different. You know, people walk in there and go, hey, good, hey, hey, hey. I can't believe it. They ran out of pan dulce.
How are you judged when you go home? Are there times when your family says, oh, Paul, how could you say that about our people? You know, that's one thing for us to talk about it at the kitchen table. It's another thing for you to go on stage and air our dirty laundry.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of that. You know, now there are at least 30, 40, 50 Hispanic comedians of all nationalities working, and I'm happy for them. But when I started, there wasn't a Paul Rodriguez that I could pattern myself. I didn't know how to be Paul Rodriguez. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I couldn't pattern myself being an African-American comedian because I wasn't. And I couldn't pattern myself being a Jewish comedian because I wasn't. I couldn't pattern myself being George Carlin because I wasn't. So consequently, I had to just, you know, grow up. And yes, I made a lot of mistakes. I remember going on The Tonight Show and the next day my house being swamped with phone calls and my father being so angry at me. How could you go on this television show and say those horrible things about us?
What did you say that was so offensive?
Oh, my God. You're talking to the guy who invented such jokes as Taco Bell is a Mexican phone company. You're talking about the guy who invented, you know, Kmart. Those are the first words a Mexican baby says when he comes to America. Attention, Kmart shoppers. I'm not proud of these jokes, but I didn't know any better, you know? Did I make some mistakes? You bet I made some mistakes. But, you know, I was living in such terrible poverty, which is never an excuse. When I grew up in East Los Angeles and in Compton, I could have sold drugs or told jokes. And I chose to tell jokes.
When it's all said and done, it ain't money you want. It's family and friends. Nothing gets you better than family and friends, man. That's the best. If you ain't got that, you ain't got nothing. I know. I have a large family. I'm the youngest of 12. I asked my mother, how come you had so many kids? She said, I didn't know all of you were going to survive. Me and your father, we figured half and half, but chingo, you guys clung on to life like a chicle in the sun. I think Mexican parents have a lot of kids because that's their form of social security. They know one of them might make it, and that's what they're going to live with. Whoever has the most money, that's what they live with. Right now, I'm the lucky one.
The purpose of a comedian is to evoke laughter. And I will do that, and I will go to any measure to do that. I don't see myself as anything other than an entertainer. That's all I am.
But you still walk a fine line. There are still expectations that you must uphold the race, that you must fly the flag. And I guess I'm thinking of your experience with both Telemundo and Univision. You have the distinction of being fired by...
By both. I've been fired by a lot of people, and I don't mind. Because in the long run, I was right.
What happened?
I used to host their most popular show on Univision called Premio Lo Nuestro. It's the Grammys, the Emmys, the Oscars all roll into one. I had done my third year with them. And that 2 weeks before I went on there, I was on television. These cops from Riverside blatantly beat these illegal aliens. You might remember the story. It was a truck full of illegal immigrants jumping out, and these police officers came over, and there was no need for the kind of brutality, you know? So there was no uproar, like the Rodney King uproar, because if there's one thing that Latinos should learn from African Americans is that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, we don't have that. Our Cesar Chavez is dead. We really don't have a leader. So I go on this national television, and I make a skit, and I have these security guys chase me, and I run up and down the stage, and I run up in this thing. And then I do a routine, and I say that if there is justice, these cops are going to go to jail. And when they go to jail, they'll realize that we might be the minority on the outside, but we're certainly the majority in the prisons, and that they were going to become somebody's girlfriend. Well, they got diluted with phone calls. So they fired me at mid-show. By the second half hour, I was gone. So they had a newscaster finish my thing. I made no bones about it, and I don't mind.
Any shame in that for you?
No, it's great because that's a great thing about doing what I do. I see myself as a court jester and as a clown, and I really don't have no special interest to please. I speak my mind, and sometimes it was put very well by Janis Joplin, right? Freedom is having nothing left to lose.
Comedy is your weapon.
It is. It is. And if it's used properly, it's a very formidable weapon.
Paul Rodriguez, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Paul Rodriguez. He recently completed a concert film, The Latin Kings of Comedy. It's been previewed for test audiences in Fresno and Albuquerque. He's in negotiations with his studio to distribute the movie to a wider audience. Tomorrow on the program, we'll conclude our series with one of the original kings of comedy, Bernie Mac.
For more on our conversations with comedians, go to our website, npr.org.